This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0 and as part of our podcast series. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me today, firstly in the studio, Gary Ho from Hamilton City Council. Welcome, Gary.
Nice to meet you.
And I also have Jovi from Hamilton City Council, who's actually coming in online. Welcome to you, Jovi.
Kia ora, kumiste, everyone.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for that. We thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about the various funds that the Hamilton City Council have available at the moment, and in particular for our community organisations. And also, too, hopefully Gary and Jovi can share one or two top tips for you around your funding applications. And we're just going to talk a little bit around the actual funding environment from their experience. So we'll start off with the actual community initiatives grant, Gary. So if I can just get you to start and just give us an overview. I know it's closing soon. And just, you know, for anyone maybe in particular that hasn't previously applied, what's the eligibility and how they go about actually putting an application in?
So the community initiative grants were open twice a year. So this round is the second round of our council financial year in 2025-26. And applicants can apply for up to $10,000. So for the thing we support is like general operational support, small event or public event, or you want to apply for small equipment or small capital project that benefit our community, you can apply either one of them. So majority of our organization, they tend to apply for general operating costs because this is the key of like the running costs of organizations. And our criteria is quite strict, to be honest. Like we support a registered legal entity, so either your incorporated societies or a charitable trust, and operating more than 12 months and able to provide an annual financial accounts, and also a bank account to prove that like your organization is like, you know, transparent and a good track record for you know, just for a not-for-profit perspective. And the round's closing, as you say, like closing next Tuesday, 31st of March, midnight. So we usually would get around 100 to 120 applications. And currently our budget, because we are dictated by our long-term plan, so we don't have a really clear budget how much we're looking at, but roughly around 250K, that mark. And groups are, you know, they can apply for up to 10,000, and usually they're getting around, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 for like a small contribution from council. And you have a chance to like, you know, spend the ground with the next 12 months. And what we normally look at is like, you know, the top tips for the applicants, or you'll be new to community initiative grant or new to council funding, is like, we want group to look at this, like, how's your project able to benefit to your wider communities? We know, like a lot of community groups, they are, you know, membership base and then doing a lot of mahi for their own community, but we also want to look at like how is it benefit to the wider community, how is it aligned to our action plan, for example our recruiting action plan, welcoming plan, age training plan, disability action plan, and of course our community and social development strategies. So those are like a couple of key elements that we want our applicants to have some input and have a think about, like what sort of, you know, benefit that our community able to, you know, receive from you guys, and also what's the long-term development looking at the bigger pictures. Like if I, for example, to be a lot of group, they will apply for operating costs, running some, you know, program for our Tamariki or Rakatahi. How this program not just only benefit like maybe 40, 50 people, but also their whānau, or maybe the schools, or maybe the friends that know them, they're able to benefit this program and have that kind of overarching approach, like, oh, we are not just only do it for one community, but also for everyone that able to maybe have similar background, have different experience, they're able to benefit from this. So I would encourage group, like, you know, have a good funding plan and then have a good budget you know, and provide, you know, able to provide your track record in your financial account, and also have a good and then good storytelling, because of this is a good example to showcase to our funders, hey, this is a good project that funders should support. So I'm talking in general, not just for city council funding, but in general for a lot of funding out there. We want good story, and how to amplify their voices to wider community is important.
And I think being able to tell your story is so critical, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because if you think about the number of applications you receive, and this is, as you say, all different funders, they're not going to all know you personally.
Absolutely.
Although we do always encourage you to sort of try and build those relationships with the funding advisors for each of the respective funders. It's around how, when they actually see your application, how they can actually understand what it is that you do, the outcomes, and then the potential long-term impact that that's going to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, very good. And probably just a couple of key points I picked up from there was one around for eligibility is having some sort of legal structure, whether it's an incorporated society or a charitable trust. So again, another plug out there for those incorporated societies that haven't yet re-registered under the 2022 Act. You have only up until the 5th of April, which is getting very close. It's probably only about 10 days away now. So vitally important that you do re-register, because if you're not re-registered, you actually have lost your legal status. And then so you won't be eligible for funding through council and the majority of other funders as well. That's correct, isn't it? And I know also too, going off track a little bit too, but also I know the banks have now been coming out and saying that you're potentially going to be losing access to your bank accounts because you haven't got that legal entity structure in place. So I just wanted to add that little plug in there for us along the way. So maybe just in relation to, we've talked about sort of how you're eligible to apply for the Community Initiatives grant. And we've talked about operating costs. Can you, and equipment, you mentioned about equipment. What about if you're needing to do some repairs, running repairs to your building or something like that? Can you?
So
if like, obviously, we're only talking small amount of money, of
small amount of money. Like we have groups in the past where we apply for, you know, carpet changing, you know, or maybe the roof fixing. So it's just part of a small contribution. So we understand that it's a small grant. So what we normally do, like as you mentioned, that it's good that you talk about a little bit the small capital project, because we want to see the budget, of course. Like we want to see like this our income that will towards to your whole project. So it's not just only relies on council support that $10,000. So a lot of time, like I see groups that like struggling to, you know, to actually outline what exactly they need to put in their budget, because they will probably apply for a small capital project. They will provide us a general operating budget, which is completely irrelevant to what you're applying. So it kind of confuses our funders because of like, oh, we can't really see what sort of items that you want us to support. And what do you think, like, for example, in the last couple of job in section I held in council, that's we I give examples. Put yourself into my positions. If you're a funders, would you want to see an application looks like that? Or do you have more questions if you don't provide a very clear budget or a clear budget, clear project description? So this is what we're looking at. Like, oh, when we're looking at your application, budget, financials, all these things together, or your story, we would come up with a couple of questions. We want to like, oh, when do you want to do it? How are you going to do it? And then who are you going to partner with? Simple as that. Like, just like if you are funders, you probably ask the same questions. So so that's why, like, if you have a solid funding plan in place with your governance structure, you know, talk to your chair or your board members, hey, we're going to apply for funding for the next 12 months. How about we come up with a funding plan or business plan that we can sell ourselves to our community, our funders, or even if you're looking for, you know, fundraising or corporate sponsorship, you'll be the same way, because people want to know how good you are and what sort of work you're doing and how is it contribute to our community. So this is a really great, solid idea that able to not just share with funders, but share with the wider community, because you know what you guys are doing. Sometimes you know so well of what you're doing, you forgot. because it's hard to put it all the things together.
Yeah. And so, like, if you've got that capital item expenditure, let's just say fix the roof, which is probably quite common and very apt at the moment with the lovely rain we've got. So if you know that it's going to cost you maybe, say, $20,000 and you've only got about $5,000 in reserves that you can use, you're probably only going to get maybe about five, if that, from council. Is it okay then to also go to another funder and sort of try and get another 5,000 from them or whoever?
You would love
as
to
well
see about. That, like you're going to like our funder's friend, Trust White Cutter, Whale Energies, DIA, Sky City, DB Bryant, all these friends out there. I think that's the same thing. Like you get to know these funders, building a relationship, and then when you come up with a project, then you know who you're going to approach.
Yep.
So, which is the best chance you can get.
Yep.
So instead of you going out to, you know, 20 different funders and you don't really know what they're funding. But now when you have a project in place, then you know, okay, council, you can apply for small capital project, or Well Energy Trust normally will fund something like that. But, you know, like other funders might not be doing that same. So, yeah.
So it's doing your homework, having a good understanding of the eligibility and what funders will and also won't fund as well. Have you got any examples of what you wouldn't fund?
What we wouldn't fund is we wouldn't fund, you know, usually about transportation, which is also our Hamilton City boundary, because it's a Hamilton City Council funding, it's ratepayer funding. We don't fund prices, uniform, or even like accommodations. So those are the things we don't fund, like, you know, venue hire outside of Hamilton. So those are the things, just be careful. Do not put it in your budget or maybe asking for funders. Or if you, a lot of things like, for example, national organization, they have their staff probably, you know, remotely from Auckland, and they travel once a month or once a week to Hamilton. So those are the things like in the great, really great area, because it's not directly benefit our Hamilton community.
Yep.
And it's more like a national organization, national body should be responsible for these expenses. So those are things like we need to look at it really closely. And then think about that. If you're not sure, contact me. Contact me. I'm able to answer that. Like, if it's not sure, then, you know, just email me and then I can answer that.
Okay. So that's good timing. How do people contact you?
Email, phone, anywhere.
And your email address is?
gary.ho@hcc.gov.nz.
Okay. And also, too, you can go on to the Hamilton City Council website and just look up under funding.
Community funding.
And it gives you a lot of all of the different types of funds there and and all the dates and information that you do need.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. I see also, too, on your website, you potentially, if you've got an upcoming event, you could possibly apply to that fund for. Is that correct?
Yep. So anything like after for the initial ground, anything after project or events has to be after the 1st of June. So like you can apply for examples in the last round, we funded like combined Diwali. So it happened in October, November. So we funded events like that. So it has to be like a free, low cost public event. So it has to be, you know, sometimes it's good to be like at the public space, like for example, Hamilton Lake Gardens, even like at the school. So it's not just only for members or for your friends and family, but it's for the wider community can come to celebrate. Or maybe it's a, you know, for some ethnic celebration, or maybe we supported like Disability Art Festival in the past. So those are the examples that is celebrating our Hamiltonian well-being. So this is for free. Everyone can come.
Right. Okay. Hey, that's great. Thank you for that.
Awesome.
So one of the other funds is the Welcoming Communities Fund. And Jovi, this is definitely where I'm going to bring you in on this conversation. So can you tell us a little bit about that fund?
Okay. So the Welcoming Communities Fund is a newish fund. It's been established to support the intent of the Welcoming Plan. It supports organizations that make Hamilton welcoming to newcomers and communities, promoting the or highlighting the diversity of Hamilton and making it a place where people feel welcome and where people feel that they belong.
Great. And so when can you apply? Is it something where you have a specific round or is it open? How does that work?
So this is what's good about this fund, because it's open year-round. It doesn't have a start and closing date, but what applicants need to know is that the panel meets every month, so they also still need to see when their event is going to be and make sure that there's enough time for them to apply, because then the panel will have to decide. making sure that the decisions come out before their event.
Right, yes, so making sure that you're planning well in advance of those events. Mm-hmm. Like if it's going to be held next month, then realistically you're not going to get approved before that. Mm-hmm. So obviously no retrospective funding for any events that have been held. Okay, and also too, around the eligibility, I presume it's very similar to what Gary's already told us about needing to be legally constituted?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
So obviously anyone who's wishing to apply for the Welcome Communities Fund, again, needing to either be an incorporated society or a charitable trust and have been operating for a minimum of 12 months, so same process there.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
That's good to know. All right. Can you give us any examples of maybe different types of groups or events where people have been successful in receiving funding through the Welcoming Communities Fund?
Yes. So a few of the successful events that have already been delivered would include, for example, the first K-Festival, so the first Korean festival, where it was a promotion of everything Korean, food, their culture, the games event, and products in Korea. And they have now been doing their K-Festival for the last 3 years, if I remember it correctly. Another cultural event would be what we call the Unified Diwali. So in many years ago, because of our big Indian community, you would have a year where there's probably three Diwalis being celebrated, but they were encouraged to come together as a variety of Indian organizations to put up this Unified Diwali, which is the big Diwali celebration over at Inskoman at the lake. And so that was another successful event that we helped support. An important one is the Tangata Tiriti workshop. So this one is a different kind of Tiriti workshop because it's run in the different languages of some of the communities, including Arabic, Spanish, Congolese, and all that. Another one that's run in schools is the program called Breathing Space, and that's run by an organization called Diversity Counseling New Zealand. Kids had challenges also as they tried to settle in school, and so Breathing Space provides them the tools to help them adjust to school, and especially if they're a new migrant or a new former refugee. Another big one was the Africa Bazaar. There's also a growing African community in Hamilton, and finally they've come together as various Africans from the different countries in Africa and set themselves up as AfroConnect and hosted the Africa Bazaar over at Cloudlands. We also have World Refugee Day, which is a collaborative celebration of the World Refugee Day in June. And we also have Weave Market, which is run by the Hamilton Multicultural Services Trust. So overall, I think, and Gary can correct me on this, I've looked at our records, and it looked like we've had last year over 17 successful applications from various organizations. It could be cultural events, it could be workshops. So those are just a few that I could mention.
That's great. And I believe on your website you've got a list of previous recipients as well, haven't you? So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, so if people are wanting to get a bit more of a feel about that, they can go on to the Hamilton City Council website and look up that information. What is there a maximum amount that you can apply for the Welcoming Communities Grant?
Yes, this one has got, it says 5,000, but we've had a few, one, two, maybe three, and Gary can correct me on this, where we've extended the amount because of the kind of project that they were putting forward. Yes.
Right.
So again, we go back to what Gary was saying, telling your story and being clear about what outcomes you want for the community and whether it matches very well the intent of that particular fund.
Right, and obviously the size of the event and the potential number of people that will be able to come along to the event as well, I'm sure.
So probably, Joe, we just talk about the over the 5,000 limit, like just one example, which is happening last year during the welcoming week was the Kai Fusion, so led by, you know, Glenview Community Centres and other community organisations. So that's a really great example and great story to tell. It's like, you know, community doing a partnership and collaborations and organize an event for everyone to come and not just coming for a one-off event. Because a lot of time, funders think like, oh, one-off event, what's the impact? What's the outcome? Because it's hard to measure. Well, but outputs are really attractive because the numbers of people, like how many people coming. But also looking at the background, it's like, without this event, like a lot of things probably won't able to achieve, won't able to start because of like, everything has to be the first time. Glenview Community Centres and the others, they had the first one 2 years ago, and then this is the second event. They improvised the events to be more like not just only about food, but also about other performances, about the cultures, and then to invite everyone like, hey, like this is like something we should celebrate. Something is like, we are not, who are the Hamiltonian or who are you, New Zealander or UK, whoever you are, just come and look at this as, like how we as a human being, you know, like what we do. I think there's a really great, attractive story to tell.
Oh, look, it is. And I think it's a great way to expose the different cultures, isn't it?
Yep.
And, you know, especially if you were born in New Zealand and you may be like a fourth or fifth generation New Zealander, it's a great opportunity to get to understand other cultures. And we've got so many other cultures now living in Hamilton, haven't we? I'm sure I heard a story somewhere. Jovi, you've probably got a better idea than me, but the number of different ethnic communities in Hamilton now, it was quite astounding, actually.
Yeah, so formally, so you know we produced this, Your Guide to Hamilton for Newcomers. I think there's over 80 organizations established that are listed there. Those are just the ones that want to be listed or have formally organized themselves. But in terms of ethnicities, there's about 170 different ethnicities in Hamilton. So that's how diverse Hamilton is.
Wow, that is a huge number. And in probably in particularly, especially over the, probably the last 10 or 15 years, that has increased so much. That's great. It just shows that we are a real multicultural city now. So great opportunity for, as I say, those that have, you know, their families have been living here, third, fourth, fifth generation. Great opportunity for you to go along and see these other cultures and whether it's taste their food, see the performances that they have. I know some, you know, they have the stalls, don't they, where they might have some of their clothing or some of the arts and crafts for sale. Great opportunity. So I'll be looking forward to for the next one that'll be coming up. When is actually Welcoming Week?
September.
Welcoming Week is in September, and this year it's from the 4th of September to the 13th of September. So again, it's an invitation for organizations if they want to organize something as part of that welcoming week. They are more than welcome to do that. Get in touch with us and we can give them more information.
Right. Okay. So again, that's going on to the Hamilton City Council website and finding all that information. Jovi, if they want to contact you direct, what's your email address?
So mine's a longer email. So it's Jovi, J-O-V-I dot Abellanosa, A-B-E-L-L-A-N-O-S-A at hcc.govt.nz. But the easiest way to do it is contact customer service and ask for my email or...
Okay, all right. So if you didn't get the email address, just contact the customer service and they'll be able to forward those details through to you. That is fantastic. Thank you for that. And obviously, you've referred to all the different plans. I know there's the welcoming plan, there's the rangatahi plan, there's
age-friendly plan, disability action plan.
Lots of different plans. And again, just going on to the Hamilton City Council website and you can find those plans if you're wanting to make sure that your activities or the funding that you're looking to apply for does align with some of the outcomes in one or two of those plans. Hey, that's fantastic. Thank you for that. Look, we've got a couple more minutes to go. And while I've got you both here, just keen to hear, what are any other tips that you've got for groups that are looking to maybe apply for a fund, whether it's through the Community Initiatives Fund or the Welcoming Communities Fund? Any other tips that you could share with us for people to just remember and think about?
Probably my top tips is, like, as I mentioned, about the funding plan and also, like, to build a relationship with funders. I think it's like something a lot of community groups probably are a little bit scared of, like, oh, coming to meet the funders, because, like, oh, if I'm not applying for funding, it's like, why do I need to meet the funders? But, like, looking at, like, building a relationship, like, it's just not talking about, oh, we coming to question you about what you're doing, but it's more like, oh, if we're coming up with a project, we want to connect to another community group. Our community development team, we're amazing. We have, like, people from different backgrounds, different portfolio, able to connect all these stuff. Or even council unit, if you're looking for example, like, we have a waste minimization fund currently open. Like, you want to do something about recycling, reduction, educational activities for that, we can connect you to the right team. And then not just only accessing the funding and money, but also building a relationship with council to build that kind of reputation and how to implement what your mahi in the community. I think it's more important, like, just building that kind of, you know, coffee catch up or maybe just a one-on-one meeting. I think that's more powerful than just applying for, you know, give us a black and white papers, application, you know, like, we will never understand, like, better than a face-to-face meeting.
Okay, fair enough. That's great. Jovi, we've got about 30 seconds. Any last-minute tips or thoughts from you?
No, that was what I was going to say, too. There's always, I suppose, better acceptance for when communities or organizations work collaboratively with other organizations. So if they can work with other organizations or find connections, other connections that could help support their program in whatever way, then that's always good.
Okay, that's fantastic. Some great tips. I'm hearing about collaboration. I'm hearing about developing funding plans. Hearing about telling your story, looking at what the long-term impact is going to be, not only on your group, but also the wider community as well. That is awesome. Look, that's all time we've got today. So thank you very much to both Gary and Jovi. Really appreciate your time. And we look forward to catching up again. So ka kite, everyone.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.